I'm here with Jeff Parker, a YouTube marketing consultant, newsletter creator, and a community mentor for aspiring creator entrepreneurs. I'm so happy to have you here. We actually met through Twitter, and it's an amazing experience to be able to chat with you about YouTube and get to know you a little better off the interwebs. But I'm going to start off with a couple warm-up questions. That work for you?
Yep, go for it.
Awesome. For a lot of creator entrepreneurs, we're usually diving into something, learning something new, reading something. I just wanted to see, what are you digging into right now?
So first, let's start off with a book. I want to show it to you because I'm slightly playing.
Yes, of I course, love a visual. We're on YouTube. We need a visual.
Yeah, right. We need a visual. So I talk about marketing, so I'm not surprised that the one-page marketing plan, I read this probably more times than I should. But, supposedly I'm learning and I'm supposed to, it basically just explains marketing, like the most simple way possible. So like, I always go back through it and just find like bits and pieces as far as like learning. Always go back.
I'm pretty sure I have that in my library, and it was years ago that I read it. I need to return to it because I remember it being good, but it's like with a lot of the business books, if you're not returning to it and like putting it into action, it goes nowhere. So I'm sure I took like a nugget from it like years ago, but thank you for the reminder because I'm going to dig back into it. Who's the author on that one?
Alan Dibb.
What are you picking up on this time around? Because I know sometimes with the context of what you're working on, things change, or maybe the clients that you're working with. What are you seeing that you're picking up more of on this time?
So definitely the first time. I feel like this with any book. You read it or you listen to it. I have the Audible version too. I have it. So like you listen to it and it doesn't like, it means nothing to you. You're just kind of, that sounds cool. I should start an email list. You don't even, it means too much, right?
Right. You're just absorbing the initial information.
Yeah. And then the second time you start like, oh, okay, this part where it says, what's your unique selling position? You're like, oh, that actually matters. This part actually matters. And you start to like, okay, I need to take different parts seriously. You don't really act on it. And the second time you're like, okay, this, I want to take one part from it and actually do the thing. I think that's something I'm seeing. Just from reading different books.
Sometimes you need to reread the books, especially if you're working with clients. Like sometimes, like I've noticed this with people that I've talked to that are in personal branding or in design. Sometimes you need to reread it for yourself too, because you're like, wait, I'm applying all these things for my clients, but like I need that prompts back to myself to say, hey, what do I need to do now? Because sometimes it's hard to do that for yourself, right?
Well, I need to make sure I'm doing this too, right? Or I need to make sure I'm setting the example. You know what I mean? I never update my, it's like changing your bio on Twitter or something. You change it like six months too late sometimes. And you're like, oh, geez, I don't even talk. I need to be relevant again. I need to change this.
So right now you're digging into just kind of going back to basics on the marketing aspect, reading that book. Is there anything else that you've been learning about more so? Or are you just like all in on the simplicity of like the marketing aspect?
I'd say there's like two. There's like the entrepreneur Jeff. Then there's the like, I don't want to be an entrepreneur. Like I don't want to focus on it sometimes. So like I'll spend like, I read a lot of, I read a lot of like serial killer books.
Oh, I love that.
I
love a dark. So I've been reading. I like horror. Like I'm not necessarily like a horror fan in film always. I like thrillers, but I love some dark reads.
Yeah, some like it's like the taboo thing. So that's like the non-entrepreneur Jeff, who just wants to relax, put in some earbuds, and just
relax about murder, like brutal murder. Yeah, I mean, I feel like that whole podcast, I'm sure it is with like YouTube too. I just don't know as much, but like I would imagine it's huge on there too. But there's just something just like tickles the brain because it's like kind of wrong, but then you're also like in a murder mystery, but real life digging in and like looking at all the data from the past.
It's wild, it's a weird, that's all like, do I say that? Because everybody listens and watches this type of stuff. But it's like Jeff listens to serial killers. Like, whoa, it can be.
We gotta be open and authentic. You know what? You might have your crowd of people who are like secret serial killer listeners, but they're just like sweethearts. Yeah. You know what I mean? You gotta have your dark edge. You have to have the dichotomy, right?
I agree.
I love that. Well, I'm gonna pull a card. If you've been watching now, a few episodes have come out since I've been doing this, but I do have a little card that I've pre-picked a few. I'm just going to pick one. There's a little spontaneity. See how it leads into the conversation. Oh, actually, this is a good one. I feel like you might have tweeted about this recently, but and you kind of just alluded to it. How do you create boundaries with social media? Because you work in it too. So yeah. I'm curious to see like, or is it a challenge?
I'd say it goes, I have a love hate with social media. Just say Twitter. I made this thing called like a Twitter manifesto. And it was just like, I'm going to tweet twice a day or something. The weekends don't count. Cause I get into like the growth, like there's the growth mode, Jeff, where I'm like, these two tweets need to perform in my mind. Right. No one else probably cares in my mind. I want these two tweets to perform, and then on the weekends, I'm still trying to, you know, whatever, sell or make this type of thing. So I had to like, I just need to relax sometimes and not always be on the go and just like let things, because sometimes like it's when you want something, sometimes when you won't get it, but when you're just like, I'm going to tweet, I'm helping people. And someone will DM you and be like, oh, hey, Jeff, how much does this cost? How much does this cost or something? Like, oh, okay, well, I didn't even. Or I'm too busy. I can't even take clients, but my mind is like, get them on another client. Like, I don't even have time. What am I even doing? Like, just relax, Jeff. Like, that's where I'm like.
So you're trying to like engineer it a bit, because I'm sure like as any entrepreneur, you're trying to optimize. You're trying to like make sure that there's impact. You don't want to waste your time, right? But it's not always good for the brain to be thinking like, especially with social media, you're at the mercy of the algorithm because it is what it is, but there's also just like other humans on the other end. And just depending on the day, somebody may like mass like a bunch of tweets or respond to a bunch. And then there's some days where they just are doom scrolling and they may love what you said and will remember that forever, but they will never engage with you until like they send you a DM and say, I want to buy.
Yeah, 2 months later.
So it's one of those things. So do you find that you need to like create more boundaries around Twitter specifically? Or how do you feel about like YouTube versus Twitter, since you're working with like YouTubers quite a bit?
Yeah, I think it's knowing like when to, I think sometimes a lot of people need to like take a step back or something and like take 2 days off. Or like with Twitter, I'll like tomorrow, today's more like business day tomorrow. I mean, because stuff's already scheduled. Like, I don't care. Nothing.
You have the boundary of like, I'm going to keep, you know, if there's some DMs, like I can get to them later and it'll all be okay. As opposed to, you know, some people, including myself, sometimes I have the propensity to be like, I get something and I'm like, okay, I got to answer right away. Just email, DM, whatever it might be, which is unhealthy. So how did you start as a YouTuber? Like, how did you get into the YouTube realm? In general, is it just interest, or did you start making things? How did you get into that realm?
I feel like everybody has a YouTube channel, whether they say it or not. Like it's some hidden channel. They've made some. I used to be in bugs and stuff when I was younger. So there's some random bug videos that are private that was probably uploaded at some point that are, you know, like everybody. I feel like everybody's done that. But I've always liked YouTube or video stuff like that. Then I started like a podcast, and then I learned more about marketing. Decided like, okay, I need to niche down. Like I just need to go further. Like I just need to pick, how am I supposed to sell a product or something to build a business if I'm talking to 8 different people? Cause I say like, I've been like an entrepreneur for like, since from age like 20 to 30, but like, I don't know what I was even doing. I mean, I made some money, but it was just the most random.
You were just kind of experimenting in a whole bunch of different areas.
Yeah, experimenting. Yeah. You know, some things work, some things weren't. Then I learned more about marketing. I'm like, well, I like YouTube. Let's just talk to YouTubers. Like that's who I talk to now. Other people can learn stuff from it, but that's where I've just gone deeper. Now it takes so much just to learn to build a product or something for somebody. Picking that person, you know what I mean? Like that's just who I picked.
So let me break that down, because I honestly think that a lot of people, when they're kind of looking into the area where they would like to specialize more or to you know, to focus on more. I'll break it down into the pieces. So yeah. The marketing piece. So how did you get into, and then I'll get into YouTube and the YouTube avatar, a person that you would be working with. So marketing, what about marketing drew you in that you felt like, this is my thing? Like, I want to talk about this. This is where I want to help people. This is where I can serve them. How did you get to marketing specifically?
It'll probably start with, like, I say it like this, and I'm probably saying that, like, failing so many times, like, you know, like having ideas and it would just go nowhere. It'd make some amount of money or something, but just failing. And then I didn't know marketing was the answer. It just, you know, I'm just online like everybody else.
Yeah.
How to build a business or how to make money. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And yet I saw this guy named Adam Erhart has a YouTube channel and everything. I bought his marketing, a very basic marketing course, just like, hey, you talking to very basic stuff. And then I just went deeper down. So I'm like, this is the answer. This is what has made me more money, just to know where I'm going. And before I didn't know that. So to me, it's like this, I tell people, like, change my life because I just know what I'm doing now. Before.
Right. There's the clarity. Wow. And do you like being able to kind of imagine that person that you're speaking to and communicate the message, either your own or other people's? Is that, like, kind of the passion behind it? It's like you want to get inside their head and be able to speak directly to that.
Man, it's like you can change. I mean, it's all sound, you know, like, change your life with marketing, but, like, it's true though.
Hey,
like,
I mean, no, seriously, there's all aspects of that, like, venture process that, like, I'm obsessed with the innovation and venture process, and marketing is a huge piece of, like, the experiential part of how you bring ideas into the world. And it's key because for someone to react to it, to give you feedback, they need to have that communication, and a lot of people fail there. So what about let's start with the person. So a YouTuber, what is, like, so attractive about YouTubers, that kind of creator versus other types where you're like, I know I can speak to that. I know I can speak to their audiences.
I think it's just going deeper down. Okay. So here's, like, a changing point of when I was on Twitter, because I remember it. I can remember this every day because it felt, like, terrible when it happened. So, because before I talk about different things, Instagram's kind of, I don't know, growing on video. You know, I didn't have a niche. I was just kind of, you know, how to grow. I don't know if I even knew marketing that much yet. Right. But again, I spent 10 years being an entrepreneur, learning things, failing things. So I was just giving advice at first. So I found I DM'd somebody. I'm like, hey, what do you think of my Twitter profile? And, like, how I'm helping people, right? And she's a nice person. I can't remember her name now. It sounds terrible. And I was like, hey, you know, what do you think of my Twitter profile? Like, is it helping people? She's like, oh, it's really good, Jeff. You're helping people, whatnot. But it's not for me. I don't know who you're talking to or anything. And I remember it's like 3 a.m. I don't know why I'm up at 3 a.m. I remember reading that message thinking, like, this, I need to fix this. Like, this is it.
Yeah.
I spent 10 years screwing around, in my opinion, like, in my mind, just not really going anywhere. They're like, this is it. This is where I'm going to fix this thing.
Yeah. And then when you're choosing, how did that process go? Like, so you were saying, okay, I want to look for YouTubers. How is that ideal for you? Like, as far as them or their audiences?
Yeah. Cause I think it was just video creators. I just said video.
So video creators in general.
Yeah. And that's when I start, like, well, I'm already talking to people. On, like, I had more YouTubers who were following me to begin with. I think that was the biggest thing. There's just more people, when you say video creators on Twitter. I don't know, there's a lot of YouTubers who are on Twitter versus Instagram people. That's just what I saw. So then it's like, okay, wow, this tweet did pretty good. And it was scary. Like, now I'm like, oh my God, Jeff, this ain't, like, not a big deal, but, like, you know, just changing my bio. It's like, I'm helping YouTubers, was, like, scary at the time.
Yeah.
It felt,
because it's like the commitment to, like, a very specific. Yeah, of course. That's the difficulty sometimes when people know that they need to take that next step and focus into a space because they're seeing the response there. It feels like it's going to last forever, but it doesn't. Yeah. You know, or like if something ever changed, like, you couldn't change that. When I see people pivot all the time you know, just depends. It's okay.
Yeah.
You just have to be able to communicate that in a way that makes sense.
Yeah.
So what are some of the things that they typically, like, need in the marketing space where you were like, okay, I could totally step up and help in this particular area?
I think the biggest thing is, like, the majority is most people don't have the specific enough niche, I guess. Like ideas are too big, you know, that I want to have a hiking channel and like a vlog or something. And that's usually too, like, it's too hard. Like to pick the one niche, like the one, who do you want to talk to, like 10 words or less, you know, YouTubers who want to quit their 9-to-5 job or something. I don't know. Like you're just really snappy like that. You know, people who have an urban homestead, they want to make their own food, like really snappy like that. And that part can be very hard because they want to be the show. A lot of times, like, you don't become the show of your YouTube channel until later on after you got those fans. You must have to start with the idea, the niche first. And then you become the show. Then you get those fans. But they sometimes they start with the fan part first when they should start with the delivering whatever your niche is, whatever the concept of your content is going to be about. That's been like the hardest part sometimes.
Yeah, I know I've had difficulty within myself, but I've kind of started to realize that there's like a separation between like your own personal brand and how you live in these different spaces and starting to talk about your products. Like I started even just, for example, on Instagram, like separating out the things that I'm working on from myself. So my personal profile may cover that just kind of entrepreneurial stuff, but then like the actual projects themselves, they sit by themselves. They have their own audience. I'm specifically talking to them. And it's something that I had to learn. And I would imagine, especially like with the YouTube channel too, in the experience of going to YouTube, you need to go and you have to know what it's not. You're just going to go watch someone all day, especially in long form. I mean, my God, it's like, I don't know if there's anyone where I would just be like, let me just watch their life all day. If I can do that, you know, on Instagram and their stories or something, right? So you want like specifics of like, I know I'm going to come here and learn about this, or I'm going to come here and take a break and relax and, you know, watch this type of a video. It's going to have this sort of experience for me that I can get into. So thinking of it more as this is like a product of yours and you should treat it as if it is something that, you know, maybe can do, not necessarily almost live on its own. You're still a valuable part, but like it's for the other person. It's not for your,
it's hard,
you know, your platform to just be like, hey, it's the me show, you know?
It's hard. That's like the hardest part sometimes.
You're not, and it's tough to because you're on camera. It's like a performance, right? In a way for some people. So like the YouTube platform in and of itself, I know that you were saying that you just enjoyed YouTube, but what about it like as a social media platform do you like as compared to, I know there's not many things to compare it to because it is longer form, but like as opposed to blogs or as opposed to writing platforms or even some of the social media ones that they do have some long form, right? Some of them like Instagram, you could put long form videos. Do you really like that you like to work along with? Because I feel like it has unique aspects in the marketing space.
I think the long form, like building, like that's how you become, like build fans, like seeing someone's face. Like I can remember a blog, it's called a fitness routine or something, right? Really like really high end, like information, really good stuff for beginners and everything. My first thought every time is like, I don't know why, like, what is this guy, not what he look like. Like, I want to see him. I want to see his face. I want to know who I'm talking to. Like the content's good. He's clearly making money. I want to like connect more. Literally, I mean, that's what I'm searching. Like, this is good information, but what you look like, but you know what? I just want to see you. Like, I want to, like, that's the first thing I did. I don't know why, but it's just, so I think it's more like you can build your brand.
Because
there's different people like different things. Like, sometimes I listen to a lot of podcasts sometimes. But then there's times where, like, I want the video. I want the person explaining it. Like, I want to see them. I mean, I don't know how, you know, like communication. I just want to see someone tell me a story versus like a faceless channel versus like, I would say
there are so many faceless channels now, especially with like AI and everything too. Yeah. But you know, I know there's a lot of faceless channels. What are your feelings on those? Is it just, do you feel like they're just kind of, it's just like, why not just do a blog? And you know, I mean, I know a few of them are doing okay, but like is there a use case for that or not really?
I think I work with a client, his name's Andy. I'm trying not to tell him too much. His name is Andy, but he does a certain, you know, for a specific niche, and there's a lot of people who don't show their face in it. Like they're just they just talk over, and it's not bad enough. Clearly they're getting a lot of views and everything.
Yeah.
And like the benefit is that you are showing your face, you showing like they're building more of a brand. And then mm-hmm. one day when you're like, I want to open up my Patreon or something, like there's right. more of a connection versus you versus just voice versus just a voice talking.
Yeah.
Like that, I think that's the biggest, in my opinion, the biggest difference.
I also think that that's why, you know, I was even really drawn to YouTube again because of they were adding in like the podcast list and everything. And I wanted to go back to video, but I felt like a lot of people are going back to audio again. And I'm like, wait, but I kind of like the video podcast. And I like the option, like in Spotify, for example, you can listen or you can watch if you host it correctly. You're able to watch on there if you'd like, but if you don't, fine. Or YouTube. Like you don't have to be staring at the screen if you don't want to, but sometimes it's nice to have it up on like, I've had it in my office before where I'll like have a podcast on and it's there and it almost feels like company, right? Like there's people chatting and you're like, oh yeah, I'm here with them. I mean, most of the time. So if you want to listen, you know, why not kind of just go the extra step, show your face, let people choose to watch or not watch. I know there's been some changes to the platform. Is there anything that like you're particularly excited about? I know there's some different monetization that's coming up. I know there's like new podcast things.
I think I've seen a lot more, and it could just be I'm in the space. Like you're in the, there's a lot more like people getting onto it, saying like YouTube's always, you know, like YouTube's always growing, but like it's like it's gone. It's getting better compared to like 2010 YouTube or something like compared to, you know, that type of like internet in 2000. It's getting better for the creator. Like, I don't know if there's any other, I mean, if you've ever been on a Twitch or like heard the Twitch news, it feels like.
Yeah. I've done a few streams. I've done a few streams on Twitch for different things. And for a while it was promising, but you can explain more probably than I can.
Twitch is, you know, I think that it seems like they're always taking things away. I don't, you know, I'm just mm-hmm. marking. They're mm-hmm. always, you always hear news that are negative about Twitch versus YouTube. They're always like giving back to the creator, whether it's just money or another form of monetization, or like to get out like from a marketing point of view, like them giving out plaques when you hit certain subscribers is crazy.
That's so cool.
Like that, like no big business does that. Unless, imagine if you give it to like 1,000 subscribers, like that's what they need to start doing next, because that's like the almost the like everybody wants to get 1,000. Yeah, it costs them money, but it'd be worth it to do that. Like it would just people, because people love this, they post it all the time. They're saying, oh, TubeBuddy, be like, oh, my first 1,000 views, my first 100 subscribers, and they will tweet that because they did that thing to get there. It's like I feel like they care more. It's a business.
That too. And I also feel just now with everything, you know, especially like you see it on most platforms, there's always some drama going on. So there's like this, you know, like for me, I thought it was incredibly suspicious. This was something that, you know, I kind of like, I didn't mean to say warned about. I was a little negative on it. Like when they first started paying people for reels, like on Instagram, I was like, this seems like they're going to do a bait and switch here. And, you know, I was like, well, maybe they're actually going to do it. But it just seemed a little sketchy to me. And I just saw a lot of people start building up and start making a lot of reels, not make a lot of money that was even worth it for the time that they were spending. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, no more paying out and you should pay for a check on Instagram. And there wasn't really much added benefit other than, you know, you get the verification and maybe a little bit better. I know the jury's out on it, but there wasn't like a lot of extra things that you were getting for that. And it just kind of disappeared. So these people who were kind of starting to build a little bit there and, you know, yes, they built audiences, but they were hoping to like monetize more. Maybe Instagram would like up the ante and give them even more. It like did the opposite. So like, I feel like a lot of these platforms are doing things where they're really changing up like the whole model, or they feel like they're supporting creators and they're not. I feel like YouTube has like the least platform risk, in my opinion. I don't know what you're saying, but if you were building, if you had to build, let's say, let's not talk about like newsletters or things that are in your space that you own, like I would imagine that YouTube is probably one of the safer places to build any sort of legacy of content.
I mean, think of like, we've all heard of like, I know, I don't like me personally now, but people get like banned on TikTok all the time just for, I feel like there's so many. Yeah, some people are doing bad stuff sometimes, but like I just, the fact that I can just say that like that, like positive, guaranteed. I know people who get banned all the time, but on YouTube, it's like, unless you're doing something absurd, like you're
like really, like you're really going against,
like you're actually,
like you have to understand the terms of service, but like you got to be real. Yeah. It's a little bit more, or you're not categorizing things correctly for like kids and stuff like that. I just feel like, because maybe it's Google owned, something like that, there's like a certain level of like, okay, we got to keep our ish together, you know, on this platform. Yeah. We can't let it go down. We can't let it, you know, upset too many people, even if it's maybe not as like, you know, spicy and like, you know, a flashy.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to say it. It's more people. Like the older platform or something, like the Facebook of video, or I don't know.
Yeah, but Facebook, at least like there's kind of a large range of ages, I feel like, on YouTube.
You can
find people like young people to like older people, and it's like normal. It's not like someone necessarily feels out of place. They're just showing up in their own space. So what do you think of like shorts? Are they good to leverage?
I think you should. I don't like, personally, I don't like short form content as much. I just, there's just not, I feel like there's only 20% is making like things that like emotional, like real things. And the other 80% is like dances or something. Which you're getting attention, but that's not
right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just stuff that's, I didn't gain anything from this. Mm-hmm. Should you do them? You probably should, because they do like actually work as far as like hitting a wider range of people. I just wouldn't go to, I wouldn't make a whole channel about shorts or nothing. But like, you know,
right. So maybe it's like getting previews from some of your videos and posting that. It, like, that would be probably a better use. Or if there were, I guess, if you're on another platform and something performed well, it might as, if it, and it relates to your videos that you're putting there, I'm sure it's probably not, it wouldn't hurt to reuse that or something.
Because there is, the positive is that there's, you know, there's Instagram, TikTok, YouTube shorts. You could, maybe if you take out the little thing on the bottom right, you take that, you know, if there's like YouTube or TikTok. I mean, because they're all the same, they're short from content. So you can just post all three. There's other problems if you can keep up with all three, and, you know, should you focus on all three? But, you know, that's something you could quickly make it one place, post it there, and then you're technically growing on three.
That's really the beauty of long form content anyway, like video content. I mean, man, you can pull the audio. I mean, if you really wanted to go for it, you could like pull it into the script, any of these other things, or even some of the AI tools, pull out pieces, reformat them,
crazy,
put it as a blog, put it as a, it's so much easier to just record a video and then just pull all the pieces out of it, in my opinion. I feel like there are a lot of people who feel really limited. I know I definitely felt really limited doing a lot of short form content and starting at short form. I started to learn to, unless I'm trying to figure out an idea, sometimes maybe I'll go on Twitter and or Instagram in my stories and like pop a few things in just to get a temperature check on something. But I really prefer going from long form to short form. I feel like definitely more efficient, but it's also more me to have like a nice long conversation or a full expressed idea and then pull something out, as opposed to just be like, okay, what piece do I like share of that, like this little line that has zero context, you know?
Yeah. It's so hard. Cause like the ones that do really good are like, you know, Mr. Beast type style, where it's, you have to scream in the thing, 6 books you must buy in next 5 days. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's the,
you have to be like, not all
like that, but you know, you have to, you know, you gotta be moving in, you know?
So YouTube is, I mean, so what would you suggest, like, for if people are on YouTube, what's your favorite space to share either into short form or to get people like a funnel into your YouTube? Do you like Twitter the most? Is there, does it really matter? It's really just kind of where you feel like you can build an audience. What do you think about that?
I think as far as like YouTube does actually a really good job at
getting people.
Yeah. Just its own, like delivering the video to the person who wants the video. Like, it does a really good job at that. Like, it may, you know, you may seem like it if you're not getting views or something, but, you know, like, it does actually a really good job of just delivering that to there. As far as like social media to YouTube, I think it's, I won't say it's better to like on Twitter, for example, you can put your YouTube link in there or something, but don't, I wouldn't be like, I'm making this Twitter account to get people who are scrolling on Twitter, who clearly are not watching videos because they'd be on YouTube again with, right? Like,
Right. You have to kind of like know that there are a lot of people who may not ever click on your videos, and that's okay. It's okay that they can stop where they are, or they can go straight to whatever your, like, if you have YouTube videos and then you have like some sort of an offer or product or consulting or something behind it, that they may go straight to that, which is also great, right? But there's the YouTube is getting a little bit deeper before that, in a way that can help. But yeah, that makes sense. And Twitter, it is kind of flexible in the in that way. And I do think people, when they're scrolling on there, are looking for information more than sometimes on some of the other platforms.
Yeah. Like Instagram.
They're like looking to learn or trying to find something. So on YouTube, I know like the SEO is tends to be a little bit better than maybe on other, maybe TikTok now. I've seen some decent SEO, but you know, what a, how can you kind of leverage that a bit on YouTube in when you're creating? Like, are there some things you should be doing? Like, I know recently I did, I added in, I don't even think I did it fully on purpose. I put timestamps in my description for a podcast, and it did the chapters out. I'm sure that's probably pretty helpful for people. But are there things that you can do? Is it good, you know, good notes in the descriptions? Is it just making sure that you're staying in your, in focused on all your videos so that they start suggesting it correctly? What's kind of a good way to make sure that you're going to be seen sort of by the right people? Because yeah, I know the keywords are not necessarily quite as important.
Yeah, they don't. I think even if you were to go in there and add keyword, it literally says like, this is not important.
I know. It says like, this doesn't necessarily, not like it doesn't matter, but you're like, it's kind of there just in case there's confusion or something.
If someone, I guess, is searching that. I don't know. But I think there's two things. I mean, those like, I mean, it does help. Like the description, like if you got a, how to, wash your dog or something. I don't know. I mean, like, you know, having that description that says that, of course, if you could break it down, because it does show, I don't know if it shows it on your phone as much, like as far as the YouTube app, but like on the, an actual, you know, PC or whatever, it does like break it down. It's like, it'll show, so you can see, because I mean, I've done that tons of times where I'm like, you just, okay, is this video for me? So I think those are like other, the things that you can do. I think the easiest, like to me, because I'm like, I don't care if I'm just a resource for somebody. Like, I don't, everybody's different. Some, because some people just want to, they want to, again, they want to be the show. You know?
Yeah. Right.
So for me, I don't care. I just want to like just be the resource for somebody. So like how to content, like guides. Like, oh, if you go to almost any channel, like almost, like almost besides like Mr. Beast or something, if you search like their most popular, like it's, if they ever made some type of guide, it don't matter how dumb or corny it is, or like how to wash a dog or something, it will always be like the most pop, it'll have more views than anybody else or in the other videos. So those are like easy pieces of content. If you know your niche,
then you'll
just make those, just think of every problem someone has, make 10 of them or something. Like I guarantee you're going to get views on a couple of those compared to, you know,
because people are looking for, a lot of times on YouTube, they are looking for, I'm trying to learn this skill, or I'm trying to, like for me, install a baby car seat, like whatever those things are. There's a lot of like how-to content on YouTube because it's that walkthrough. It's the teacher with the visual something, no matter how basic it is. It, that's true. I feel like that's probably been some of the most standard and most widely searched content over time. So it makes sense to have like a few how-tos or just breaking something down that probably is like even really easy for you or natural for you. Someone will probably search it at some point, like, you know, whatever, how to, you know, or I also think sometimes like, I don't know if this is true or not, but sometimes walking through, I know people have like desk setups or like tool stacks or things like that. Sometimes like resource lists, if you can kind of walk through them meaningfully and not just be like, here's this, 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 you know, you can kind of say like, I use this for this, this for that, you know, it's almost like walking through a process, probably can be a helpful one to do as well.
Like if you're a pod, if you wanted to start a podcast and you, you know, you start searching stuff, you find your person that you like, or say like how I start a podcast from start to end. Like that's not something people are searching, like how to, no one's searching how to start to end of a podcast. Like that video came out, you're like, I already like this person. And now they're showing me what they do. Like, this is the first thing to my eyes is the expert. So when they say that, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to watch this because I want to know what is he doing? Because clearly his stuff is working. You know what I mean? He's the expert. You know, so it makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so walking through an aspect or how to plan for an episode or like some, you know, some of the editing tools or an aspect of the editing process, you know, where you can share how you approach it because everybody's going to approach it differently.
Yeah.
And I think most people, especially if they're DIYing a lot of things, especially at first, they're not going to have an editor right away. Right. So, okay, so what's the best way or what's the most efficient way that I can edit this myself or in a way where I can do this at first and then hopefully grow enough where I can, you know, hire someone who's an expert at it. But at first, like, I'm not just like shooting in the dark, just uploading things willy-nilly and, you know, whatever. You can kind of avoid a few of the mistakes early on.
I think it makes, I saw this one video about when it was a good like title and it was a good, like how to make your $9 lav mic sound like a $400 mic or something. It's very, it's so cool because lav people probably have some little, you know, they have it because that's how they start. But how does it sound like a $500, you know what I mean? Like it's such, I know it's such a good idea. Like how to sound better because we all want to, how to look better, how to dress. It's like that, you know, how can I look better to somebody? Whether we, you know, like that or not, it's a whole other thing. Like that's, you know.
Yeah. Well, no, but I think that that's a very human thing, especially when you're new too. A lot of times you have to kind of, I don't like the term fake it till you make it because it's not really that. It's not meaning to like scam anybody, but you want to start showing up as what you're growing into. So if there are ways that you can leverage that, and yes, you're a beginner. Yes, you don't have maybe as much money right now. Yes, you don't have this kind of a setup. But if there are ways that you can take a few extra minutes to like polish it up a little bit or add some really nice text on it or add a visual, I mean, it just takes the production level to a whole other space. And it's not really, it's probably not even that difficult. It's just taking a little bit of extra time to do it. And just knowing that you can do it and not being too intimidated by it. Like a video intro, stuff like that, where people are like, oh my God, did you get an editor for that? And it's like, no, there's some really cool tools on that where you could just build your own. And it's just, it's a nice thing that just polishes it up. So it looks like you're treating it professionally as opposed to just, you know, switching on your camera and going like, what's up guys? Like just here today to, you know, share my two cents, you know? Even if that's what you were doing, you just put something pretty in the beginning. So somebody was like, I'm like excited and ready to like focus. Yeah. So I know, like, I'm trying to think of some of the things that are often asked because I feel like there are a few people in my circle who are also moving more of their content to YouTube and they're like experts in their space or they're consultants, whatever. And they just want to leverage it more because they're pretty decent creators, but they've been hanging out on short form, doing things in stories, doing things on, you know, maybe doing some lives here and there. And they're like, I should just be on YouTube. Why am I not just like taking this, you know, knowledge, putting it somewhere? You know, what are some of the other things that are highly underrated that people aren't doing? Is it like putting those few seconds in the beginning to hook somebody in? Is it like a better title? Is it like the thumbnails are total trash and just do better? Like what are a couple of the things that, you know, are really, I mean, maybe the, yes, you have to like work them out over time, but like you see are really helpful in the beginning to, you know, invest a little time in.
Yeah. So here's a good example. We made a video. He made it. So I help him. He does the video part. I do like the packaging. So the title and thumbnail. And he's like, oh, this, he woke up, like he's technically at work. He just woke up 10 minutes ago. He recorded this video. He's telling me like, this video is going to be like, terrible. I have zero expectations, but you know, he wants to make a video every week. I'm like, well, let me look around and try to like basically make a good title and thumbnail. This video like did way better than we thought. Like it was his
reels too. Like someone will just show, they'll just be like, let me just do that because of a title or because of just the simplicity of the topic. It just went, whoosh, you know, totally viral. They're like, what?
Yeah. It was crazy. We just took like a hot topic, I guess, and like made a, like how someone's going to win this race or something. And we're like, he's not going to win this race because X, Y, Z. And if you're that person who's a fan, or just think like, what's this person talking about? You have to click into it because you want to know why. So like the title and thumbnail is really important, because you can have a, what you think is a bad video, you know, or you think, I don't know about this or something, but you can spice it up with the title and thumbnail. Because people, you can, I don't want to say bad, but you can tell like a quote unquote bad thumbnail, because you're learning. It's not bad, it's just you're learning. Then you can open up YouTube and like, oh, I'm going to click in this video. Well, look at that video. Look at that thumbnail. Look at yours. And like, whether you like it or not, like that's focusing on the thumbnail, because it's just visual. You get on YouTube, it's a picture. It's a picture in your face. Like there's a picture in your face. You're going to see that. So focusing on the thumbnail, then the title is like extremely important. Like, of course, it's YouTube. The video is important. But if you can't get someone to click into it, your video is not.
So I'll break it down. So thumbnail wise.
Okay,
what are some things that you like to see, or that you feel that a lot of people like to see, so that'll make them want to click?
Yeah. So I call it like a simple thumbnail. So it's literally like you take one, you always use words. It's like, what is going to cause somebody, for example, in this, the scenario was, Red Bull, which is like this racing team, will Red Bull lose? So it's something that, three words, will Red Bull lose? Everybody thinks they're going to win.
Is this like an F1 race or something?
It was, yeah.
Okay, I love F1. Yeah. So I probably would have clicked on it, because I'm like, Stappen never loses. I would like to see, but I wonder what they're switching over their cars soon. Anyway, funny enough, that's funny. But yes, someone would click because they would be like, will Red Bull lose? Probably not, because he's been winning a whole lot recently.
Yeah, like why would he lose? It's like, so but it's just smart, literally a couple words, just like, will Red Bull lose? And the title was, why Red Bull won't win every race or something. So that's what people are thinking. He's got to win every race. That's what's in the mind. Like, you're trying to think about the argument. It's in the mind of them. And then you're using the words. We put his face on the left. Like, it's very blown up, you know, because you only have so many. Your phone is tiny, you know, so like.
Right. Yeah.
More and words. And the background, there's like a blue background. Like, that's it. It was literally words, the thing.
Yeah.
To catch attention. You're just trying to catch attention, really. That's all. Or telling a story. I saw one where it was, how did Red Bull get a car in Formula One? It was literally, it showed a little Red Bull can over here. The bigger Red Bull can that people always buy. I don't know. I don't drive. And then it showed a car. And you start like, it just showed like from can to car, and I'm like, oh man, that was interesting.
You're kind of representing visually in like the simplest way possible.
Simple.
About it, like emojis do that in other spaces, right? Like sometimes on Twitter, they'll convey something or that's whatever, because people were saving, they were trying to save characters, right? Right. So they were like, let me use this to like represent that because it's just easier for me. And I feel like we do that a lot in a lot of spaces because it's just what our brain gravitates towards really quickly instead of necessarily reading words.
Yeah,
that makes sense. So like really simple, really so punchy on the thumbnail, but the titles themselves. So I know sometimes people want to be clever with their titles, but sometimes they're too long or they're too nuanced.
Yeah.
Right. I know I'm probably one of those people that does that sometimes. What is good for a title? What is a like a hook title versus just like a blog post title?
Okay. This is a good one. So, same video we're talking about earlier. Because this is where like, I'm like, okay, let's focus on. He did like the, what is this? They're going to Canada or something this week? I think they're going to Canada. Where's that?
I think that I'm not sure. I know I had watched the Monaco one was the last one I saw.
So I think they're going to Canada. But so instead of just saying, he did like a preview. He's doing like a preview, his prediction. So like we could just say my preview predictions 2023 or something. So at the beginning, no one knows you. So like just saying Jeff Parker's preview prediction with 20 subscribers, the reality is no one going to click into that compared to someone.
But if they don't know you yet, they're not going to necessarily click on that because it's like, I don't know you that well. I don't know you that well. I don't care if you're like one of the top people in the world. If I don't know you, then
it takes, I mean, think like, I don't know where first communication was, but you know, maybe I followed you and didn't look at your profile for 2 months. I'm like, this is not, you know, it's, but then over time, you build a connection. It's not like I'm not looking at her profile. It's just you follow somebody, and then over time.
Yeah, you follow someone, or sometimes it's suggested to you in your For You feed. You don't even get to their profile for a little while because you just end up following them off of like a tweet or something. And then, you know, over time, you end up going, oh, I wanted to go back to that tweet, or oh, I commented on that. Now I saw something. Okay, now I'm going to look at the profile. You know, it's just a different journey. Yeah, for everyone.
It's interesting. So we can go to the like race preview again. No one's gone to home, so I'm like, we're not doing that. That's why we did the videos about how Red Bull won't lose. So we wrote like how Red Bull won't win every game or something like that. Then we wrote like semicolon Canada 2023 Formula One GP preview or something. So he's still talking about it, but they're coming in for that. They're coming in. Not
so you're
like
putting kind of like a statement.
Yeah. Yeah. You're
and then you're putting after it like the general, probably what you're talking about in the video, but then that's like the punchy pull out.
That's the thing they're going to get. Right? You know, the Max Verstappen, are they going to win every game or something? And then you can still explain because they're already into it now. Like they're not going to watch 100%, but at least they're into it. Now you can start talking about your own opinion of it. So I think that's better. And you can try different ways. We'll try just the plain way, like how to lose weight or versus how to lose 13 pounds in 7 days. I've just made up. Right? But like, it's like the hook on Twitter.
It's like real. Cutting out like something with like specifically about sugar or something. You know what I mean? But then you're talking about other stuff too, but it's like have like something punchy from there that's maybe a little bit like, you know, are carbs really that bad? Like, I don't know, whatever. Yeah, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're pulling them in because you're like,
Twitter, we got a lot of YouTubers want views. Obviously, that's how the game works on this.
Yeah.
So you have to like, how to get 10 times more views. And or, I don't know. You almost have to say that. And then you can be like, oh, let's actually talk about the community tab or something. You just say,
right. Okay.
Which good community tab. No one cares or something. Like, no, I mean, because they're focused on the views. I mean, some might care, but you have to then, this will get you more views. And then you talk to the community tab or something.
Right. Okay. Okay. So like, for example, this is just like from a personal space. And then I know a lot of people are putting their podcasts on there. So yes, you have a podcast title. Those are usually punchy in the sense of they recap the name of, you know, what you're, the arc of what you're talking about. But they don't have that kind of usual hook in the beginning because that would be almost kind of cheesy looking on, you know, sometimes they do, but like on Spotify or something, you want more succinct, overarching theme, and then whoever you're maybe talking to, for example. But on YouTube, you might want to change the title a little bit and maybe pull a little, not sound bite, but like a little thought bite in the beginning. To see if they'll like come in and talk, like want to hear a little bit more about that from like your guest, for example, and like, let's talk about the community tab, because why do we care about the community tab? And what do you think about the community tab? Because it just came up. Right. So I want to talk about it because there's some newbies to YouTube around here.
that was like my biggest, like my most liked tweet was about the community tab. And then I should find it because it was like,
oh my gosh. Well, that'll be one thing. Yeah. I know you probably saw it, but I do have some resources that we put together like outside of the show notes in like a Notion document. I should look at a couple of your tweets and then like pop those in there. So we'll talk about that. So what about the community tab? You know, I just feel like that's highly underutilized. Like I feel like I sort of discovered it and I'm like, what am I doing? You know, especially when you're small, you're kind of okay, I don't know what I'm doing with this yet, but what is the point of it and how can you leverage it?
Yeah, so you can, for one, you're building, because the problem with the video is like a lot of times you have to edit in a certain way. Sometimes you can't always just talk. It's a podcast, but like if you don't have a podcast, you kind of just got to get to the point. You can't always, you're clearly the video is edited. You can't just chill and talk. So sometimes you can't always like be yourself because you have to focus on attention and all this, delivering a production video or something. So you can be more normal. You can actually like talk to your audience. You can ask questions. And some of these people get imagine if you have your channel and you got subscribers and everything and you want to make another video. So instead of just like making a video and just hoping it works. But if you had
right
400 people are voting on like polls or something every single day. So now you ask the question, hey, would you like content like this? So then you're doing your own market research. You're deciding if someone's got like, you can promote things. Like if you had a Patreon, it wouldn't be crazy to promote something on there like once a week. Cause I mean, no one else is going to see it. You might as well, you know, you need traffic to get to it. So you got to talk about it. I think just community, like literally just community asking quite like on Twitter, if you just start asking questions, what's your favorite, what's your best video you ever made? Like, I'm not gaining anything from that, but that other person is like, oh, this guy cares enough to ask a question about myself, technically. You know what I mean? Like, I'm asking questions. So questions are really good. A lot of polls work really better because no one wants to answer a question. Like, if you ever go to, like, a channel and there's, like, an actual question, some people answer some, but versus, like, a poll because it's just quick yes, no. What's your favorite, you know, whatever. It's just, so polls do really good. Like always, I would almost say we'll always do polls because they're just so, they're quick. And so I just, the guy earlier was talking about Andy, I'm like, let's just make, like I say, just do it every day because it doesn't take much. Once you understand who you're talking to and whatnot, ask questions, you can talk about yourself a little bit. But polls look really well. Like I would just start doing polls forever. And like the first 30 days, like don't have, it takes time for YouTube to start giving this people. So the first 30 days, have like zero expectations. I think a lot of times we start and you get nothing for 4 days and then you get one vote. So you have to look at the big picture. So the first 30 days, don't even, you can't
just
worry.
Like get something up.
Yeah. Just once a day, you might get 4 votes in 30 days. You know what I mean? But then the next, it starts servicing the more people as people vote on it. It gets to more, it shows them more and more people. So like questions, polls. Ask them questions about who's your favorite Formula One racer? Because they get the benefit of like, you're talking to them, you know what I mean? And then your benefit is you get engagement. Maybe they click on your channel and they watch a video. Like that's the benefit you get.
And so what do you feel about, so going like stepping back into creating on YouTube. So let's say somebody's a bit newer, they're starting to get some more views and probably shouldn't have, again, that expectation right away too. What are some suggestions you have? Do you like the aspect of finding a specific topic to talk about, start editing videos around that, speaking to the camera? Like, what are some ways that you can start and put things out, but not necessarily just because Twitter is a little different. You can just tweet all the time and whatever. There's not really so much of an editing process. There's not as much, you know, like it's just sitting there waiting, you know, in the wings, whatever. If someone were to like start a YouTube channel, they maybe have some ideas, but they're still maybe exploring a little bit. They probably have an idea of where they'd like to focus, but they're kind of trying maybe to get some feedback on that. How would you go about saying that they, you know, approach the process?
I would say start with, if you're like, I've like decided like there's kind of like two different type of creators or YouTubers. There's like the creative type who will, which they're fine with it, but they'll spend like 5 years and they're just going to make random pieces of content. Like they don't care about, they care about views, but they're just creating content to be creative. So like for those people, it's just, what are you into? Like, cause you can't tell someone who's more the creative type to niche down. You need to do this. You need to do that. Cause I've worked with people like that and they're not, that's not how they work. Like they're just not that.
They want to express.
Yeah. They want to express. Convert, right. So I think if that, you still have to have, what's the ideal? Like, cause there's some idea of the video. And I say, look at other channels just to see like what they're doing. That way you can still, at least you're trying to still get views and you're still trying to take this. Mm-hmm. Somewhat looking at thumbnails, that way at least you're still going the right direction. Because the route, if you get 7 views on a video you spent 2 hours to make, you're going to feel a certain way. You're going to feel negative.
Right. Well, the thing is, you want an impact regardless. So that could be something that is more, and we can talk about this in a minute, like more on the entrepreneurial side. So you're taking it into that innovation space where you're going and like trying to create value, get something from it, create that impact in that way, or it's impact in the sense of like, you're just putting things out there for people to just enjoy and you get the feedback of someone being able to watch it. So you're maybe you don't have a specific offer that you're offering, but you still would love a lot of views on your video because you took the time to do it. It's not just in a vacuum.
Yeah. And so I think looking at other channels and just seeing, like I said, title, thumbnail, that way at least you're going, you can still express yourself at least, but then you're not hardcore. I have this niche. Jeff says, don't talk about this because it's a completely wild thing from your niche. Yeah, you know, you're mm-hmm. still going the right direction. And then the other one is like the more like, I've screwed around for 10 years. Let's just get to the point. Let's have this niche.
Right. More yeah. like growth marketing.
Yeah. yeah. Really enter this in your is space.
Yeah. yeah.
This is my niche. Tennis for beginners or something. That's all I'm mm-hmm. talking about. I don't, I'm not going to talk about nothing else. I understand how to deliver a video for somebody. It's like the make three videos for your audience and one video for yourself is kind of the mantra that I say. It's not that the three.
That makes sense.
Yeah. It's not the three isn't not for you. But you know that you're very specifically making this video because someone has this problem or an issue or something. Then the one video, it's still on topic, but like the person I was talking about, he's going to do like a vlog style video. Mm-hmm. It's still on topic.
So maybe a little bit whatever you want. Kind of edit. Yeah.
You're whatever you want, man. I'll help you, you know, maybe with packaging at least. So at least you're still trying to get views, but like, you know, if you get...
You get a little bit of a different angle that you can bring to the table. And so there is that kind of a difference between, you know, the ones that are putting stuff up to express, or maybe that's where they host like some of their stuff. They're like maybe putting it somewhere else, but they're just like hosting videos because YouTube's it's great for hosting and embedding in other spots. You know what I mean? It is what it is, right? But for the people who are, okay, I want to go more into this creatorpreneur space, whether they are already creating on YouTube and then now they want to step into that next spot of, okay, I need to like be more intentional about my monetization or my audience building, whatever that might be. I know that you have been working with YouTubers that are wanting to be more into the entrepreneurship space, like getting into the business space. If you're, let's say, a video creator on YouTube, what are your suggestions of like, how do you take people to that next step? How do you know what that next step is?
So a good example is, I always talk about this, the first person I ever worked with, I think it was Rosalind, and she did a gaming channel. Mm-hmm. And for her, she just made, it was like it's the first person I was with, so it's hard to tell her the things that would tell her to grow, right? She's doing like gameplays, and like gameplays don't always work the best because there's, if I can watch a guide or a gameplay, it just doesn't work that good. Let's start making guides. And let's niche down, make guides. Let's do cozy gaming. Because at first, now you're a gamer. Now you're a cozy gamer. That means something to somebody.
Yeah.
So maybe started with these more guides. Her channel, I mean, I'm not. She got monetized fairly quickly. And I'm like, that's where like we had to change her focus from just, you know, getting 30 views a video, every single video, which that's going to take you a long time. To very much like guides, what I said earlier, do a whole lot of guides, just under, you know, niche down to this cozy gaming because it's going to mean something to somebody else and like taking that more seriously. And I remember that conversation because it was hard to like, I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to have to, you know, like this is what she's paying for it. But, you know, it's like, it's hard.
Right. But it's that conversation of like, it is a thing sometimes like with your identity too, especially if it's in a space that's expressive. That's why. I think sometimes it can be tough, like, because if you feel that this is also like your purpose or calling, right, like your business or your creative space or whatever it is, you have to, it's tough to just be like, okay, now my identity is, it feels like your identity is locked in that when it's really not, it's like your product or like the experience that you're sharing is that. So yeah, I can definitely understand that. So how would you define cozy gaming? I think I know what it is, but for those that are like, what is a cozy game?
I mean, I guess you can't say the word cozy, but I think like you've heard Stardew Valley.
Yeah.
Everybody's
probably Stardew Valley, right? And then like other ones where it's mainly like you're kind of building and doing different things, but you're not necessarily like fighting or like there's not like a full purpose.
Yeah. There's not a real purpose to it. And like a lot of people like that type of stuff. I'm like, that's why we need to pick, because you can pick whatever niche. I'll help you with whatever niche, but we can't be a just plain, in my opinion, right? It was like, you can't just be a plain gamer because then you want people to come to you first. And from what I've seen, they don't come to you first. They come to the Stardew Valley, walk through.
Right.
Then they stay for you.
Or like a type of game.
Yeah. they stay for you, but they come. Like you can't have, you can't be like, oh, I watch Mr. Beast videos because I like him as a person. When he when he has 7 subscribers, it's impossible.
Right.
You had to get people to click into it and like, you know, I kind of like Mr. Beast. I'm just going to watch PewDiePie. I could just watch his content for him. I don't care what he's doing. I'm not saying I watch all his content. Like I watch it for him, for the person. But it took.
It took getting to know them through something. It's like when you meet anybody, right? Like you get to know them because you saw them in a specific context, but that doesn't mean you know everything about them or that you would even care to know everything about them until later. And then you're like, oh, I would love to know about, you know, your interest in gardening. You know what I mean? Yeah, right? You met like in something else, right? So when you were saying that she found her focus and she was able to monetize. So monetizing on YouTube, is it typically ads? Is it a subscription or is there like Patreon content that she's sending? Is it advertisers, like other types of, not just YouTube ads, but like people who want to plug something in, like a specific product or gaming console, something, whatever, that would be appropriate for that?
I mean, at first, because it takes 4,000 watch hours. I mean, they're changing it, but like it takes to get ads on your, you know, your videos where you just make a video, you're making some money. It takes 4,000 watch hours, which is a lot, and then 1,000 subscribers, which isn't. Compared to the 4,000 watch hours, that's easy for the most part.
Yeah.
So once she started to get that, obviously the ads just start, your content just starts making money. But she doesn't have a page, or I think it's Patreon, Ko-fi or something. And those are like the people you're going to pay for that. Because for her, it wasn't like he wasn't really getting a whole lot of, it's like I'm not selling an hour of my time or something like that. So for her, it was
right. So there's not like necessarily, so there's people who would then lead maybe into a digital product or lead into consulting services, whatever. For people who are just there creating, it probably will either be like some exclusive content or maybe tips.
She did a,
someone sent a gift. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe
brands, right? Like somebody, if you could pitch it somewhere that you have a decent amount of people watching, if you like resonate with and you have like, you're like almost an affiliate or an ambassador for something. But are those usually like the ways that early monetization be pre-ad?
Yeah, I don't know what she means. But if you go, you can Google their profiles, like 300 or 400 a month, which is at the beginning. That's still a decent amount. But then I suggested, we didn't do this, but I'm like, cause this is where like niching down and stuff. So like, imagine you have Cozy Gaming, you know, someone who's going to make a cozy game. Like there's tons of people on, you know, Reddit or Twitter who's developing a game that is around Cozy Gaming. What if you could like get them, on their channel? Like you could, they would pay you to promote your video, to promote their game. We didn't do that, but that was like an idea at the time of where you could find that. You got to do the work. You got to find those people. Like, hey, I'm reaching from 7,000 people on average, just making up a number. Would you pay $200 for that? Just making up a number. But that could be a way where but you can't do that unless you have the Cozy Gaming niche already. So that's why all this stuff is like important. You know what I mean? You don't think
it is. So that you can be known for that, so that people have the trust in your particular brand and yourself to take the next steps. I know also for a lot of other people, and I know you tweeted about this too, like sometimes taking people into the next space. So let's say it's not like a fully formal course or digital template or whatever else. A lot of people will go into like a newsletter space or a paid newsletter. How has your experience been? What have you done? And then also like, how would you suggest people maybe leverage that, especially as they're starting to build their reputation?
Yeah. So for myself, I have this thing called YouTube Marketing Secrets. And it's I didn't know. So this is where like taking action is more important than planning it out. Because it's a newsletter, but I didn't even know it's a newsletter. It's going to change the other stuff, but it's basically like a do-it-yourself coaching for what I learned from coaching clients in a podcast form, $5 a month.
Yeah.
That's essentially what it is. And then like, I had to deliver it to them. So like, okay, well, clearly I'm about to make a newsletter, like, or an email list. Didn't even know at the time. You know, I'm just planning it. I'm going and making it. I'm like, oh my gosh, how do I, you signed up for this, but how are you going to get this? I'm trying to figure this out. That's made like more, either through the $5 a month or like that's made me more money than I don't know if it's, I'd have to count, but for money than like at least my second highest like product, because then you can, you have the intimate relationship. I know I'm trying to sell something for a gamer. It's a little different. But that's worked quite well, actually. Like just starting from, I don't even promote it much. I'm trying to fix the sales page. So people just kind of get on it here and there, but it's completely like paid off. So if you're an educator, if you're in the education space, like if you're not, it's a little different, but if you're educating people, 100% certain email lists, people like worry about, the, you know, where should you go or something? None of that stuff matters. So imagine you have 300 people in an intimate relationship with you, and then you sell them a product, like someone, just statistically, 300 people, someone's going to have to buy your, like, your thing
and
that
you're
selling.
In a space where you're not competing against a million other people on social media.
I wrote a tweet like that. It's called, I call it like a vacuum. Like you're, so I say, buy this thing or something. They're scrolling. There's a million other people. I can like, oh, look at this thing compared to that person versus getting an email.
Right.
Where I'm just talking to you.
Directly.
You open it up. As far as like the idea of like what should be about it, I mean, that's, and kind of go everywhere, but just what are you teaching people? Just make it, because again, you're not looking later on, you're like, oh my gosh, why did I spend 2 months trying to figure out what daily tips, I don't know, some type of, what are they trying to get? Like if YouTube is trying to get views, could you make a views accelerator email newsletter? I don't know. You know what I mean? Something like the time that you're thinking about all this, taking action, you already got.
And you can always, again, like you can pivot, you can innovate, you can figure out your own way to make the adjustments that you need to make. And then of course, like you should be doing that anyway, because hopefully you're getting some good feedback from people. And that feedback or the problems that they're having or the context of the world, things change, there's new features, there's new whatever, you're always going to have things that are going to force you to continue to upgrade and change and pivot and do whatever you need to do. But at least you're already out there doing the thing. The worst is if you just keep waiting around and hoping that you'll figure out what it is. And then, you know, you're waiting, months, years until you do something.
I think a lot of people suffer from that. I'm big on like taking action, even if it's like
messy action.
Yeah. Like very messy. I'm like, oh my gosh, what? The sales page for YouTube marketing secrets is like, that's why I don't promote it. I feel bad. Look, the sales page to me looks horrible compared to like what I've seen, like what I've made the new one. I paid someone like a copywriter, looks so much better. So I don't even tell people about it. If you're smart enough to click the profile and click the link you want to sign up, that's fine. But I don't even, because I feel a certain way about that. But like it works. Right. People are signing up.
And the thing is, sometimes it's like, clearly, if it's a good product, like it'll pull in, but then, you know, but then sometimes it's, if you just make those couple little updates or like just throw an update here and there, it might just be enough to like get a couple more people and a couple more. So it's all in an ongoing process, but at least you have it up and people are already clicking on it. So there's a lot of people who wait until it's perfect and it's a year later because it took them that long to get the copywriting how they wanted, a picture how they want, you know, whatever it is, the title how they wanted it. And no one's sitting there being like, oh my God, you changed the title. You changed the title of your, you know, your your newsletter. Oh my gosh. You know,
people are on it and don't even.
They probably didn't even notice. And even if they did, like, if they really cared about it, then honestly, you should probably like chat with them because they're pretty invested in you, good or bad. You know what I mean?
They reply back and you're like, oh, wow, this person. Sometimes people reply back to like an email. And I'm like, oh my gosh. They don't have they're already paying for this thing. So I don't, I'm like, you know,
I love that. I love when people reply back to a newsletter. And I feel like people don't do it enough because the thing is now it's a lot more personal. I feel like back, like for brand newsletters, like you reply back and it's a no reply or whatever. Yeah. But for people, usually it's like an active email and people want something back, but people are not used to necessarily replying back to it. But when you get one, it's like, it's pretty cool. Where do you feel like is the biggest potential right now for people to start taking it seriously from your perspective as they start to consider, you know, hey, maybe I'm a creator right now, but I really want to treat myself and treat my work more like a business. Where does that shift kind of happen? And then how do you step in and help people with that?
I think some of it's, okay, I'm going to make a video every week or something. It's like, making like for the YouTube marketing secrets. Someone's paying for this. I have to, like, almost make it really like where you have to deliver on this thing. Like, you have to,
yeah.
I'm going to make it. And if you miss a week or whatever, but, you know, like, I'm going to make a video every week, whether it's bad or not, where I'm going to tweet. Like, a lot of people, they'll start tweeting, like, I want to tweet every day or something. And they don't know where they're going. That's fine. But they're, but then they stop when they don't get, recognition or likes or something, but it's like it's continuing. Right.
It's like you kind of have to just do it, knowing like just, you have to do it for like a year, knowing that maybe at some point that'll you'll just hit, you know, and maybe you won't, but like now you have, but at least you have built a content up base.
Yeah, the confidence of just because that's just, I think that's the start, is getting that. Just keep going. There's times where maybe you need to pay somebody to buy a course. Because it does suck, or you think it sucks, and you need to fix something or whatever. And then I think the next step is like making money, like trying to make money. Because not everything works. Mm-hmm. Nothing ever works out how you planned it ever. Just nothing,
right?
You know, nothing. So trying to make, and if you're a gamer, try to sell. Because what happens is someone, let's just say you're a gamer, and you're not selling, you can't sell a product per se. Let's say you want to start a Patreon, and you're. Reality is you're going to get your fans. It's basically going to be a random person. It's going to be a fan who watches your content. You'll tell that person once. You'll mention at the end of the video, or you'll write it once in the community tab. No one will buy it or something, and they just give up.
You have to keep sharing
and learning and try to see, and go to other people's Patreon or something, and like look at what are they doing. Like on Twitter, the reason sometimes I say hate Twitter is because it keeps you. Someone will say do this to whatever to make money or something. You're like, oh geez, I can't. Feel like you can't do it, or you're not good enough or something. And like 3 days later, you're like, yeah, maybe I should try it. And you try it and it'll work. You know, so it's like,
right. And you're just like, why did I think that I needed to be at a different spot to do this? You know what I'm saying? It can work because one person buys it. It doesn't have to be, yes, this person is doing that and they have 1,000 people buying it, but you can still do the same thing and have one person buy it. And it's a success because you did it, you know, and you can work on it or whatever and grow your audience. But like, I feel like people feel like they have to wait way too long before at least sharing something. And why not? I mean, obviously, if there's stuff that's audience-based, you have like 3 followers and you're like, grow your audience. Yeah. I mean, like, that's just not going to make a whole lot of sense. But if you're wanting to share something that you already have like some experience in and, you know, why not just drop it? Like, and if nobody responds, then nobody responds. Maybe it takes some time, but at least you like have it ready to go. Yeah. You got a product ready to go. You can, you know, lead them somewhere as opposed to just like creating to create. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the hardest part. From a lot of, this is just my experience. A lot of creators or YouTubers are not, they're more creative minded versus entrepreneur. Like that's like a, I started from the opposite, from like being an entrepreneur, making millions of mistakes. And then I turned into more of the, you know, I guess creative or, you know, making podcasts or something, you know, stuff like that. Unless people start from the opposite. So, but then you switch over and you're like, well, I can't sell this thing. I don't. And like, yeah, you may screw it. The first 10 times, it may not do nothing, but then the 11th time it works, but it only worked because you tried 10 times.
Right. And it's nothing personal. I think that's the other part too, with like the creative mindset is that a lot of it, there is a lot of identity. There's a lot of expression in a way. And I just, it's because I have a background, you know, in more of the creative space and also marketing in the creative space. Like it's tough to work with straight up artists and you have to kind of create a business from that. And now that's like the thing, but at the same time, there's still the mindset of, you take it very personally because it's still an expression of some sort, even if it's your business, like even if it's a digital product, it's still like an expression of some sort. So it's building that resilience of it's not personal, you know, it's just, you know, making sure you're connecting with somebody. It's like dating. You could be a great person and not be a good match for somebody. Right. That's okay. You just got to you got to date a lot of people and figure out who you're a match for. You can't just date one person and then just be like, nope,
I'm not good.
That didn't work out. How do you keep that sort of consistency with yourself? Do you have any habits that you put into place? How do you show up for yourself as a creator entrepreneur to make sure that you keep?
Yeah. I think as far as like Twitter, if you're talking like social media, I tweet once a day or I don't know, it could be more times, but like I use Hypefury. So like I planned it. It's all planned out. I don't know, probably over a month now. And that way, at least like it feels like I'm staying. Sometimes I feel like I'm just staying alive. Like I just, like I haven't missed a day for like, I don't know, 400 days. I'm not losing that. I'm not losing that, you know, 400 and some odd days. And as far as like selling stuff, it goes back and forth because there's what I've learned is like, you can't always be in like the selling mode because sometimes you have to like fix your landing page or you have too many, you know, like a client that takes a lot of time and you have to focus on them and you can't, that's why I said like sometimes you're just trying to stay alive. You can't always be sell because there's so many background things.
Yeah. And you're it's kind of seasonal in a way too. I mean, I'm not seasons, like literal seasons, but like, I just feel like creation and entrepreneurship is very seasonal and like in your own process and your own creative process too. There's going to be times where you're like wanting to share a lot more, communicate more.
Yeah. It can be hard. Yeah. It's trying to stay alive and keep, well, I think you said the seasons. I think that makes a lot of sense because there's definitely times where I have like a Notion document of filled with like information, like Rosalind. I'm like, why don't I make a case study that will help? I haven't. And I'm like, this is crazy. Why don't I'll even pay her to do all the work or something. Like I'm to the point where like, cause I know it's going to work. Like pay her to, make the, cause she has information, pay her to make the case study as far as like, if you want to grow a YouTube channel, this is what I've seen with her. Or if you want to grow a gaming channel, very specific. And then they get information for free. They get on an email list. Percentage might buy some product. Percentage might, you know, be coaching with me. Like, but you can't do that if you're tweeting three times a day or if you're focused on something else. That's where you may have to be like one tweet a day. Hopefully, like tomorrow, hopefully no one will DM me because I'm not going to deal with it tomorrow because I'm focusing on, you know, stuff like that. Where like you can't.
Yeah.
You're in the background doing the building or something. It's such a good, like, smart way to think about it.
It's really just about your process and, you know, just going into, I know that this is something that I ask on every podcast and there's really like no definition for it. Everyday innovation, really, innovation is just literally changing over time, evolving, growing, right? And everyday innovation is that kind of showing up for it. But I want to see, like, how does everyday innovation show up for you in your life or your client's life? Like, how would you kind of define it for yourself? There's no right answer. It's just, I like to see how people's brains work because it's pretty cool.
I think
it's like defining a creator, right? I mean, or defining that's personal brand. That's, I mean, there's impossible. A bajillion ways to define it depending on who you are.
I think, so I thought about this question. I don't know the right answer. So I picked taking action more than like, I think that's the biggest thing is like taking the action. I have this quote, which I mean, in my mind, it's a quote, less thinking, more doing. I think we spend too much time. That's like great. The only thing, like Elon Musk, I don't really like the guy, but like the crazy thing is like, he will take an idea. I'm like, boom, we're doing this on Twitter. Boom, we're doing it. I don't care if you like it. And if it's trash and muck, whatever. But then you can find out you could build a whole business, find out this concept works, make Twitter money in 1 month, or you could spend a year figuring this out, like starting the email list when you have no idea what you're doing. You have no, you know, you're sitting here.
Yeah, getting on YouTube and starting to do your thing and, you know, looking at the thumbnails and saying, oops, I'm going to do that one better next time because this didn't work out. Or I'm going to do another poll or... oh, that didn't work, but this works. Or, oh, oops, that did really great. And I have no idea what I did. Let me figure that out.
Right.
Yeah, it really is about taking the action. Yeah. Well, now that you've said polls, maybe your if you have a question that you want, I also, that's the other last sort of closing thing is there something that you want to like throw back to the audience? Maybe we should make yours a poll. I don't know.
Well, you can.
There any or if you have a regular question, that's totally fine.
The only thing I thought about earlier was why do you want to be a creator? That's all I could think about.
Oh, that's a really good question. You feel like that would be such a simple thing, but I don't see it asked very often. Yeah. I feel like I see, what kind of creator do you want to be? Or do you think you're a creator? Because I think some people don't think that they are, but they kind of are, or they can be very easily. But the why behind it. Yeah, it's interesting because there's a lot of motivations a lot of motivations for that. And that kind of speaks back to what you were saying about like the types of, you know, people who are creating content online too, because sometimes it is just expression, but it still doesn't, you can sell strategy with expression, you know?
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. I love that. Well, I have loved our conversation. I don't want to keep you too much longer. We'll have some special stuff in the Notion doc for you, but where is the best place for people to find you right now?
Twitter.
It's Twitter. Fine. Okay, cool. And I'll be linking that.
Twitter.
So Twitter, and yes, check out, I know, I think it's in your link in bio, your email newsletter. I'll link that as well. And yeah, thank you so much. And are you accepting clients right now or are you busy?
50-50.
Look, if you catch them on a good day, if you got a good pitch firm,
the right clients came the way, you know, you can't say no to anybody. Say that's what happens.
Get in on the newsletter first, start applying some of his knowledge, and then
that's how my last
class ask some more specific questions. We'll see. Yeah. You gotta work up the chain there so that you can get your stuff going, and then Jeff can help you. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time, and thank you for being on the podcast.